Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about how we navigate through life each day. Do you sometimes feel like there's just not enough pages in a day timer? You know, I used to have one of those. A whole page was for one day. All of a sudden, I looked back on mine several decades ago, and I had started to staple yellow legal pages on each day. I didn't have enough room. How many things are we starting to pack into our day? How are we starting to say, I need to get all these things done? How can this possibly happen? Then we wonder when our health is suffering, we're not feeling well, our knees are starting to hurt, our hair is starting to change, and we say, I think I'm losing control. Has the end of my tether line just been on fray for so long, I haven't even noticed it? Really, what we're looking at now is, how can we reverse that paradigm? Instead of saying it's an anti-whatever you're doing, how about we say, how can we nourish our bodies? How can we encourage ourselves to take time for ourselves? And how can we also have the people in our life be able to be a little bit more in sync, be able to support each other versus always pushing buttons? Today, my guest is Aditha Lang. Her book is Superpowers, The Busy Woman's Guide to Health and Happiness. Aditha, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. Don't you think, Aditha? It depends on your age group. I'm in my 60s, and I know that my plug was on fray for at least three decades there. How about you?
You know, I think we all get, you know, scattered. And I think as we get older, for some reason, we sometimes even get even more scattered because we start trying to, we are so used to having so much on our plate that we end up actually placing it on our plate as opposed to it just kind of flowing onto our plate. So I'm 52, and yeah. I noticed that I've got a lot on my plate, but I still do have two little kids, too, so that kind of keeps me pretty busy as well.
Yeah, in my 60s now, my kids are in their 40s, and it's sort of like, oh, cool. But, you know, I even recognized it the other day. I said, you know, I sat back, and I think when you're really in the fire, you can't smell the daisies. It's sort of like, are you seriously kidding me? I'm in the fire. Leave me alone. And then when you sit back and you're in the daisies sort of part of life, you sit back and you look and you say, wow, look at what I accomplished then, what I got done, and everything that suffered, but look at all the goodness that came out of it. So I think each phase of our life, even though it might have been a little scattered or whatever, it still had purpose and meaning, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I see, sometimes I feel like I'm on I call it the hamster wheel of life, when you're kind of like, you know, kind of just getting through the day. You just want to kind of like finish the day. But then when you sit back and you go, wow, but look at everything that transpired and what I accomplished and what, you know, what changed and what moved forward. It's like, it's pretty amazing sometimes what we can actually do.
You know, I think it's really about being able to give yourself a break. So many times people are saying, you know, I just don't know if I can do this much longer, or, hey, I can take it all on, and you go into your own little space, your own little time, and you just feel like you're totally broken and in chaos. And it's really about that all of those things fit in everyone's life. It's just we say, oh, she has it so put together. She's got it all together. And what's wrong with me? Don't you think it's always a judgment-based life we live?
Well, we, you know, unfortunately, you know, the average person, and I think as I've gotten older, I've gotten over it. But when I was younger, I always would worry about what other people thought. And now I realize that it really doesn't matter, and it really doesn't impact where I'm going or how I'm getting there, what everyone else thinks. So I'm on a different trajectory these days. But, you know, we do tend to, you know, put a lot on our plate, thinking that we should because of someone else and, you know, something else that's going on. And one of the things that I teach, when I teach health as a combination of exercise and movement, sleep and relaxation, food and nutrition, and happiness. And balancing those four components makes a healthy individual. But a lot of times when I'm dealing with people, and I tend a lot more to deal with women when it comes to this aspect as opposed to men, because women are much more multitaskers than men are. And so on that note, many times us as women, we tend to want to care for everybody around us. And in doing so, we forget to care about ourselves. So one thing I try to teach everybody is you've got to take care of yourself first. And it's kind of like that old adage, you know, where they say when you're on the airplane, you put the oxygen mask on first. Well, you got to do the same thing. You've got to care for yourself and feel good and feel healthy and vibrant, because then it's so much easier to motivate and inspire all the people around you.
And it definitely is about being able to take care of self. Let's talk for a second about what you can do for yourself. You know, I was at a mass on Sunday, and there were two women behind me, and one was saying that she had a heart condition, and the other lady stood there saying, well, let me look it up. And she looked it up on her cell phone, and she says, oh, do you exercise? What do you do for your diet? Do you take these herbs and these supplements? And I'm going, this is really a strange conversation, you know? And the other woman with the heart issue was saying, I clean my house. That's my exercise. And the other lady says, oh, no, you have to do it this way. And I thought about it. You know, movement is movement in the first place, you know? I know this from, you know, being in open heart surgery for many years, is that the idea of if you're able to stand up and walk to the restroom, that has been an absolutely monumental gain for you that day. It's not someone chattering in your head, you need to get outside and how many steps, and they have to be over 10,000. Do you know what I mean? So I think the idea of what is your movement, what is your exercise, let's talk about that for a second, because I think it's truly about what your body, mind, and spirit is able to do for that day. But then you open up the door and you say, you know what, that's what I'm able to do, but what would I love to do? And that's when you expand it further, correct?
Absolutely. And you know, it's kind of funny because recently the American College of Sports Medicine came out and said, look, you just need 150 to 300 minutes of activity per week. And the cool thing that they said is that the activity didn't need to be consecutive, and activity was defined as anything that increased your heart rate and make you break out to a sweat. And so I kind of, you know, I look at myself when I was younger teaching classes, and I would tell my clients, listen, you need to work out 3 to 4 days a week for 60 minutes. And when they came back to me and said, oh, I only got 27 minutes in, I would give them grief. And unfortunately, right, because of people like me, they stopped working out because they're like, oh, I don't have 60 minutes, so I guess I'm not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it means nothing if I get the 27. So now I'm encouraging people to no. Enjoy your movement. I mean, you got to give yourself credit for doing the gardening, the house cleaning, carrying the groceries, you know, park your car further and do that little walk, use the stairs, and add in all these other elements to your day, and then all of a sudden your activity minutes are pretty simple to do.
Right, because what it does is it really reverses the paradigm of the end result and the negative base, to turn it around and say, let's go from the point of creation rather than the point of what should be and be able to fit into that paradigm. You know, I think it was really interesting because I had spoken to someone. We were talking about being able to move and being able to go places and do things, and they said, but you're not doing it the right way. Don't you think that we should, I almost feel like I need to be, I mean, probably you too, almost like you want to give out stickers. If you see an elder woman walking with her cane in the grocery store, man, you had a fabulous day, I'm so glad you're here. Bam, give her a sticker, you know, that kind of idea. You got up, you walked today, you brought your cane, isn't it nice? You know, here's another sticker, you know. And it's sort of like we almost feel like we need to have some sort of inner chatter that says, yay you, that you were able to do that today, and that yay you is what gets you to the next spot, right?
Absolutely. You know, I have a couple that I train, and when I first went to go meet with them, they are in their 80s. She has a lot of physical limitations. So around the house, she uses a walker. When she goes to the grocery store, she uses one of the little carts, or sometimes she'll use her walker. The husband gets frustrated with her if she uses her walker in the grocery store because it takes longer. And I looked at him and I said, I have a question for you, George. I go, do you have anywhere else to go?
Yeah.
I'm like, are you in a rush? And he was like, well, no, we don't, you know, we just kind of go to the grocery store and then we come home. And I'm like, but George, if she's walking with the walker, she's walking, like, give her kudos for that. And if it takes her 2 hours in the grocery store, well, you know what? You had nowhere else to go. But at least then she walks for 2 hours. And so, you know, I think it is really important to give people kudos for, like, just making it happen.
Let's talk for a second about being able to exercise your thoughts and your mind through meditation even these days. And what this calls is really about the moment of peace, relaxation, and being able to say, let's just turn everything off. How many tapes do you have running in your head? I know how many tapes I've always had, and it was like, oh, my word. But, you know, I could secularize them. And I took the little pieces, okay, I can make the coffee while I'm brushing my hair, while the kids are putting the stuff in the refrigerator, while the other kid is doing the laundry. I mean, it's like I had like 100 things, you know, going on. And I think sometimes we think that it's necessary to have all of those. And then when we lack of it, we say, oh, I'm bored. I don't know what to do. I'm not fully engaged. When in essence, it's how can you take the time in that moment and step off the train and say, you know what, I'm going to sit in the park and I'm going to be quiet. And what does that feel like? Don't you think a lot of people fear that private time of peace or that moment?
Oh, absolutely. And the one thing, I think there's a mindset that someone has. So if you place the mindset that I'm going to be bored, well, absolutely, you know what? You're going to be bored. But on the other hand, if you place the mindset that you're giving yourself a mental reset, then all of a sudden it changes the whole paradigm of it. So I tell clients all the time, find that one thing that you truly enjoy, because meditation really is about taking all of your focus into one thing, because then you don't allow any kind of exterior thoughts to come in or random thoughts to come in. And then all of a sudden, when you finish with that one thing, you come back to reality and you actually look at it with new eyes, with a fresh approach. If you were doing a business project, all of a sudden creativity will flood the gates in. And so it's completely giving your mind a reset. And that reset can be 5 minutes, it can be an hour, it can be whatever you have. But no matter how much time you give the reset, actually the valuable part is after that reset, because you will just look at things completely differently.
Today we discuss many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.
You know, there's a commercial on TV, and I'm not sure if you saw it or not. I think it was for Cape Cod potato chips. And the two women are sitting on a bench, right? And they're outside. It must be at lunchtime for work, right? And there's the groundskeeper is spraying water and watering the plants in front of them. And he has it on a mister, you know what I mean? So there's a lot of water.
Yeah.
And the woman is sitting there eating the potato chips, and she's breathing in and closing her eyes, and the mist is blowing her in the face. And the lady said, what are you doing? And the lady says, be quiet. I'm on Cape Cod. I'm enjoying the beach, because the water's blowing her in the face, you know. And the other lady says, well, let me know when you're back to reality. Come back to reality by 2 o'clock, because you need to be back to work or whatever, you know. But it was just so funny. It just showed how easy it was to step out of that and just dream of something else or be in some other space. And it's as simple as that. It's just that we make it so dang hard. And we put so many labels on it that we only do it because we think it's how it's supposed to be done, how someone else is supposed to be, you know, quantifying or validating it. And when we try to fit into other people, I think that's when we get stuck. So this woman on that commercial, not only did they sell potato chips, but they sold how to meditate and, you know, visualize. It was great.
That's wonderful.
You know, can you share what you think about sleep for a minute, Adita? Because I think sleep these days is taking on a different adventure. A lot of times people say that I'm going to my past lives. I don't know. I'm visiting ETs. I don't know what sleep's all about. And then there's others who say, well, I fell asleep for a really long time, but I don't feel like I was rested when I woke up. Don't you think sleep takes on a lot of hats these days?
It does take on a lot of hats. One of the things that I have found to be quite a useful tool, and I really don't like all the electronic gadgets, but the Fitbit or any kind of these like little exercise watches they have, they can actually track your sleep cycles. And just for your own sake, it's actually pretty valuable information because we have sleep cycles that are approximately 75 minutes each. And in a perfect world, you would have 6 to 7 sleep cycles. But unfortunately, because we have little lights on in the room, little LED lights, maybe it's not that cold in the room, maybe there's light coming through the curtain, we have these things that end up bringing us up. We don't completely wake up, but we now have restless sleep. And so I work with clients all the time in regards to that. And when we see the pie chart that you get off of your watch, we start to realize, wow, you had, you know, 12 different interrupted sleep periods. You had one full sleep cycle, and you had all of these little tiny periods of waking up. And so it becomes something that they can see, and then it becomes easier for them to resolve because they start to understand it. Because in a perfect world, you should wake up the next day. It doesn't matter what time it is, but you should wake up the next day going, yeah, okay, it's time to wake up. Not like you need a pitchfork to pull you out of bed and you need to hit the snooze button 12 times. Because when we do that, unfortunately, we are inhibiting our mental clarity for up to 4 hours. So we want to make sure that, you know, sleep is really important. And the interesting thing to me about sleep is typically between 10 and 2 in the morning, we are physically recovering from whatever we've done throughout our day. And from 2 to 6, we are mentally recovering. So those periods of sleep are really, really valuable for us. And so, you know, this morning, actually, I went to go train a client. She got up by some weird thing at 4 o'clock in the morning. So she's looking at me like a disaster. And her and I are talking, and she's like, the past couple mornings I keep getting up at 4. She's like, I can't even think clearly. And I said, well, of course, because you're not allowing yourself to truly mentally recover. And on the same note, I have several clients that always complain about, I'm not losing weight. I'm not losing weight. And then when I look at their sleep, they're really not recovering from all of their physical activity. So they're not going to lose weight because their body's always going to hold on to fat as like a security blanket. So they need to have that recovery. So then the body will go, oh, you know what? I'm fully recovered. I can start getting rid of some of this body fat. So sleep has so many facets. And then when you look, of course, at stress in our day-to-day lives, you know, you have to look at it that we need to be able to recover mentally from it. If not, we're going to keep waking up with that angst, with that feeling of like stress and anxiety and you know, a little bit of frustration. And we want to be able to let that stuff go.
Yeah, I think sometimes when you wake up in the morning and you're like, don't talk to me for a while, you see these people who, you know, 4 or 5 hours they'll go around and they're like, don't talk to me. It's almost like they're sleepwalking in their daytime,
correct,
you know? And it's it's definitely something that is very much an indicator of their overall health. We see people, too, who, oh, I'm a night person, and they truly don't get started until 4 or 5 in the afternoon. And me, it's like, see you later, you know, the sun goes down, I am too, you know? And
yeah.
I think the idea of, we always say about eating for the seasons, is I think it's more sleeping for the seasons also. You know, I would always say in the wintertime I needed more sleep. Well, because my body truly knew sun comes up, sun goes down, and that's the cycle I was on. And I always would make a joke and say, oh, I must have been a bear in another lifetime, you know. But the idea is that we truly, if when you're in the sense of that, you will be able to tune into that, and it will just be like clockwork. You know, sun comes up, you wake up. Sun goes down, you go down. Right?
Absolutely. You know, and at the same time, too, I mean, we've got a lot of other hormones, but I try to use just two to keep things simple. We have cortisol, which I say is your daytime hormone, and serotonin, which is your nighttime. They never work together, so one has to turn off before the other one turns on. And in a perfect world, the minute the moon is coming up, cortisol would start to decline, so then serotonin could kick on and be on. But what ends up happening is the moon comes up, we get home, we turn on all the lights, we get on the computer, we got the TV blaring, and we don't actually allow our cortisol to slowly work its way down. And so a lot of times I'm dealing with people who look at me and they go, oh, but I have problems going to bed. And I'm like, well, of course you have problems going to bed. You've got all the lights blared up. You just finished watching an action-packed TV show, you know, and so you've just been like turning on your cortisol as much as you can. We need to create some rituals to start to let that cortisol go down so you can then enable the serotonin to come back up.
Absolutely. Well, again, your book, Adita, is called Superpowers, The Busy Woman's Guide to Health and Happiness. I truly think your book is, it is not text heavy whatsoever. It's really almost like a vision board on every page. You know, action steps, put your things in, fill in the blanks, be able to, this is truly like you can use as a journal. We're able to put things together and say, I like this part. How can I fit together here? You have fill in the blanks and you have little pictures and icons, which really helps you progress along the path. It gets kind of cool in a way, and especially all the recipes, right?
Well, you know, my intention is, look, I am a multitasking female, just like the ones that I'm trying to write for. And we don't have a lot of time. So if I'm going to read something, it needs to be simple for me to read, and I need to be able to write notes in it, and I need to be able to use it as my journal, just like you said. And so my intention with that book was for people to actually create their own personal game plan, their own personal instruction manual for life, so that they can easily follow it. The recipes are all really, really easy to do, but yet they're highly nutritious.
Let's also talk for a second about a few of those where you talk about a salad and you have a basic salad and then you talk about the salad in the jar and then what you build upon it. I know for myself, you know, I'll, you know, maybe one day when I really am in the space and time, I'll cook a bunch of different items, put them in jars in the refrigerator, and then that is my basis of the meals going forward. I think if we see that idea, it's so much easier to be able to take things out and say, I already have something started, and then to be able to go forward, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I had a client of mine, and she was like, I don't like to cook. And I said, and I'm very much into meal prepping. So I said to her, let's take this down a little bit. I go, I'm gonna work this out for you. So I got her, the agreement was is that she would make 2 cups of quinoa. And so she makes 2 cups of quinoa. She buys a big bin of already mixed washed greens. She buys an organic cooked chicken. And then she has to chop her vegetables on Sunday and put them in airtight containers. And then from that, she's got 6 or 7 different kind of meals.
Right.
And it makes it easy to just saute a little bit of garlic and olive oil with some veggies and put that on quinoa, or do a salad, throw the quinoa on top of that and some chicken on it. And so, you know, she had all these different variations that she could play with, making the kitchen that much easier. Because I've noticed that when I was a kid, we used to eat at home all the time and we would eat out on a special occasion. But nowadays, it's completely in reverse. Everyone eats out all the time, and they eat home on a special occasion. And unfortunately, that's why people are having such problems with weight issues, because they're eating out all the time. And so we need to figure out a way of coming back to the kitchen. And everyone's kind of scared of it. I learned how to cook from my parents, from my grandparents. It was just something we did. But now people don't know how to cook. And interestingly enough, I'm not a chef. I love to cook, but I'm not a chef. But I go in and teach basic cooking classes to people. And I'm talking, I teach them how to cook quinoa, how to cut their vegetables and store them, how to just stir fry a couple of vegetables, because they don't know.
Right.
So simple tasks like that, if you kind of start incorporating these little easy things into your kitchen, all of a sudden you'll go like, hey, wait a minute, I can start making some more meals at home. This isn't as difficult as I thought it was.
Yeah, I think the idea of meal planning or even cooking in the first place has really gone by the wayside. I know for myself, mm-hmm. I'm in my 60s, and I've always cooked as little as, you know, 5, 6 years old. I was cooking every single day, and I still do today, and we don't eat out. And sometimes when I see, you know, people that say, well, we eat out every day. What do you have at home, or what did you eat for dinner? Even when they come in as clients or patients, when a patient comes in and I ask them, what did you have to eat this week? And they were like, well, we ate at Chili's, we ate at this place, and we ate at that place. And they'll tell me the name of the food on the menu. And I says, no, what food did you eat? I know for myself, you know, for what I have tonight might be I would have on the kitchen counter, and maybe garlic and a lemon and a sweet potato, and say, there's my dinner. I would identify it by the ingredients versus identifying it by the name of the menu. Don't you think our concepts have really got flipped, that we don't even know what goes into food?
Oh, absolutely. But it, and at the same time, too, the average person does not understand what food is for. Food is not for comfort, socialization, or the thing you do when you break up with a mate. Food is fuel, and that's all it is. And so a lot of times I go into corporations and do big talks on health and wellness, and the first thing I do is say, you know, what about if all of a sudden today I came here and I gave you a Maserati? How exciting would that be? And everyone's like, yeah. And I'm like, but here's the thing with the Maserati. If you give the Maserati cheap, regular gasoline, within 1 week that car will not purr like it should. That car needs to have premium gasoline. If not, it will not drive correctly. And so your body is a finely tuned engine. And whatever gasoline you choose to put in it is going to dictate how it performs. And that has to do with your health, your energy, your stamina, your motivation, all of it.
Absolutely. You know, I think the idea that we've gotten so far away from even knowing what food is. I live in New Orleans and I've lived here for decades, and the mantra here in the city is that we live to eat. It's totally the opposite. And, you know, everybody comes here to eat and drink. That's what they do, and that's what it's all about. So I think also, too, the idea of now in the year 2019, and we lived for many decades a certain way, or we grew up a certain way, is the idea of now you're asking me to change my habits, to change the way I am. No, that's not going to work out. I think the idea of change really is it's almost like what I call a building block that you have to get through somehow. And so many times people will say, I just don't have the energy to go through it. I'm just staying on this side, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, absolutely. And we have to, you know, when I meet with clients and I'm talking to them about food and how food can actually impact your energy, you know, a lot of people are basically surviving on a day-to-day basis, and they do this unconsciously between caffeine and sugars. And it's not just sugar. It's sugar, flour, dairy, and alcohol. All of those things break down and metabolize as a sugar, and they give you a false sense of energy. So you have a cup of coffee with cream and sugar in the morning, and all of a sudden you start coming down from the high, and you walk into the office and someone offers you a bagel, and you're like, yeah, I want that bagel. And then you go up on a high again, and now you start falling off that high, and you go for something else in that category. And so people do this repetitively, and unfortunately what they do is we have adrenal glands, which are our energy receptors. They're the thing that give us energy throughout the day. But when we continuously give our body these false senses of energy, our adrenal glands actually become fatigued, because when you get this false high from a cup of coffee, cream, and sugar, your adrenal glands are like, whoa, that's way too much energy, so let me try to pull that down a little bit. And as it's pulling it down, it starts to exhaust itself. And all of a sudden, the next thing you know, it's 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock, and you can't keep your eyes open, and you're like, why? What's happening to me? But your adrenal glands are basically protesting, and they're saying, you know what? I'm done. I can't keep doing this. So we need to really understand that, wait a minute, our food choices are actually changing our energy throughout the day. And so I tell people that for every meal and snack, you can have 0 to 1 sugar. That's it. So a client of mine had coffee, cream and sugar, toast, jam and juice for breakfast. And I'm like, okay, you got to make a choice. Which one do you want to keep? What are you willing to give up? And he's like, I've got to have my coffee, cream and sugar. I'm like, that's fine. Now everything else goes, and I need a good quality protein and a good quality fat. What's it going to be? And so he chose eggs and avocado. I'm like, there you go, perfect breakfast. And all of a sudden he starts telling me, you know what, I never want that bagel when I get to the office anymore. And I'm like, but of course you don't, because your body is now satiated. It's satiated with the components of food that it needs, the protein and the fat, and it's satiated with the amount of nutrients it has. So you're not going to need anything until lunch, which is great. So, you know, looking at foods that way really, really changes people's energy throughout the day.
What I think is great about your book, Adita, is that when you're not only talking about food and energy, but you're also too sharing. Let's say someone says, I want to start making a few changes. In your book, you could find out why you might want to do it, what the different things are that you might need to be aware of, such as we always talk about pesticides and GMOs on this show. And we also talk about, you know, what you're able to do with chemicals should you have organic food, and what kind of diet would you like to have. Sometimes people are hard say it's really hard to stick to that all the time, and I would say just start with something. If you start it with one meal, even in a month, and then you do it almost every week, and then you notice that you just decided you're just going to do it all of a sudden every day, it's about a process. It's not about a let's click my fingers and everything will be hunky-dory. You know, I think, I mean, while some people can do it that way, many like to say, I think I'd like to start this slowly. So I think that's really a great thing, your book, to be able to show you how you can start that slowly, yes?
Oh, absolutely. I believe that if you're going to make a change, you make one change at a time. So I always tell my clients, okay, the first change we're going to do is we're going to add water. You're going to drink more water during, you have seven, for the next 7 days, you're going to drink 8 glasses of water a day, and for anything caffeinated or alcoholic, you're going to add in 2 more. And in those 7 days, if let's say on day 4, they don't get their 8 glasses of water in, then they have to start again on day 5 as day 1 until they get 7 consecutive days. And once you got those 7 consecutive days, now we go on to the next thing. We're going to add more protein into every single meal and snack. And so we do it progressively that way because my goal is to create new habits. It's not to give somebody a diet plan because diet plans don't work. Every time I do these corporate weight loss programs, and I really don't call it a corporate weight loss, but that's what people do. They end up losing weight. But my objective of it is not to give them a specific diet. I actually make them create their own food plan. My objective is to teach them enough information so they progressively change habits. And then in turn, their body starts to naturally lose weight.
Let's talk in closing about happiness and joy. I think sometimes people say, I see that person, she's always so happy all the time. And then they wonder, are they like that all the time? Is that how they are at home? And we say we want a bit of that. Run to coaches, I want happiness. You know how to have it. Look at you. You have it. How do I get there? And then they're looking for the steps and the template to fill it in. I think happiness and joy is sometimes the reverse. It's an internal job. And how do they get there? Yes?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the bottom line is that nobody can throw anger at us, you know, from their back pocket or resentment or frustration. These are things that we create from inside of us. And we have to be able to look and say, wait a minute, why did that trigger me to be upset? Because, okay, that person might be having a bad day, but that's over there because I have the ability of creating whatever outcome I want from within. And happiness is such a huge component. They did a research study recently that stated that children will laugh 400 times a day, yet adults only 15.
Right.
And in a group that I did a lecture for not too long ago, the question that I asked is like, do you remember the last time you laughed so hard that you couldn't stop laughing and you started to cry? And people looked at me kind of like with blank stares. And I was like, guys, wait a minute. This is like endorphins. This is the happy drug. This drug is the thing that'll boost your immune system, help you lose weight, and will actually just make you feel more motivated and driven. And it's something you create from within. It's not something you can take in a pill form. So you've got to figure out where is that happy place. You know, I think too many people they've gotten involved in a job or a task because they're supposed to, and they forget about what they truly want, what their gifts are, their passions are. So when you end up really working from your passions, you get what I call the happy high. So a lot of times I'll be working on a project, and all of a sudden the next thing I know it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was just so excited to get it done, and I was like thrilled doing it that time went by. It passed like nothing. But on the other hand, if I had to do something that I really don't want to do and it's just painful to do it, I'm not going to put that much love and emphasis into it. So we want to put ourselves in a place where we're really enjoying what we're doing, and that we use enjoyment as something that it's a vital component of every day. There's some days that I have a lot going on, and maybe I might get a little bit frustrated because these people weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. And so then I call a friend and I go have a cup of tea so we can laugh for 10 minutes just to, again, reset myself and then feel better and then move on to whatever my next task is.
I think, and also to be able to look for those few glimpses of the moments when you have an opportunity to laugh at something. I know one time I was in medical school, I was in rotations, and one day I looked down at my feet and I had one brown shoe on and one black shoe. I said, oh, that's really cool. And boy, did that really reset my day. However, it really shifted the energy of the day, because every single patient that came in says, look at your shoes, what happened today? And they were able to, just for a moment, step outside and just hear a different story, be able to change the energy in the room. So I think sometimes when you see those little pebbles and you shift your energy, it can also help others. So I think the idea of saying it, oh, I don't need it, I don't want it, well, think about someone else. You're always giving
Absolutely.
To someone else. You may as well take advantage of it, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Adita, I think it's such a pleasure to have you with us today. Could you share with the listeners how to find out more information about you? That would be wonderful.
Oh, yes. You can go to my website, which is www.adita, A-D-I-T as in Tom, A, Lang, L-A-N-G.com. From there, you have access to everything. You have access to my book. I have online programs. I have exercise videos. I've got a ton of recipes on my website. I'm also at Adita Lang on all of the social media, so please connect with me there as well. And there, find me, because there's a lot, and I love giving stuff away and promoting different things. Right now, I have a kitchen pantry toolbox to help you clean out your pantry that you can get for free from my website. So my goal is to make everybody else healthy and happy. So anything that I have that I can share, I really do like to share it.
Yeah, I think it's really great, your book, because, like I said, it's just something you would just pick up and you would say, you know what, I think that's kind of cool. Maybe I'll try that today. You know, a lot of times we used to have newspapers that would have a lot of these ideas, or magazines. You know, we'd sit there and flip through. Now we don't even have those anymore. They're on our cell phones, and it's like, I don't know about you, but I don't even look at that much anymore. However, this book is a really great reference to be able to sit down and say, I think I'll try something. And it's really for every age group, yes?
Yes, absolutely.
Really cool. Well, Adita, thank you so much for joining us today. It was such a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you so much. I loved being here, and we'll do it again sometime soon.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Adita. Have a great day. If you'd like to find out more information about Adita Lang, please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page and go directly to her website for more information. Please do check it out. There are many things there that you can engage with. Share it with others and say, you know what? Hey, let's try this today. Let's try that tomorrow. You can slide some of these ideas in under kids' dishes. You can slide some of these concepts in under your husband's mindset or thought, and you just never know. I'm sure everyone's life can change with all these little pearls. Her book is full of these little charming pearls, and you'll be able to say, just grab onto one. Hey, that's really cool. I like that. All of a sudden, you have a necklace of great steps towards the next path in your life. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Till tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit DrJeanetteGallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.